Have you been looking for Pokemon cards literally everywhere? How can you possibly catch them all if they're all sold out? You're tuned to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Joining me now to talk about why the trading cards are in short supply and offer tips on how to play the game are Woodburn Games co-owner Michael Hubbard and local father and Pokemon player Jason Lindell. Thank you both so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Michael, for the uninitiated, explain Pokemon. What is it?
It's a very large question. At this point, it's a very large global brand, essentially. It started, I think, in 1996 as a video game on Game Boy, Nintendo Game Boy. About 2 years later, maybe 1 year later in Japan, it released as a trading card game. If you're not familiar with the term trading card game, it is essentially Magic the Gathering, Yu-Gi-Oh, Pokemon. It is taking the idea of collecting baseball cards and turning it into a game that you can play with them. About 3 years after its Japan release, it released stateside following Magic the Gathering and pretty quickly became the most prominent or second most prominent to Magic trading card game in the States and has kind of stayed relevant, especially with children, since then.
I'm glad you explained it that way. I know this was big in the 1990s. My older daughter was really into it as a kid. I had a book. I was memorizing the Pokemon, their evolved forms. It was the only cred I had as a mom at the time. And it's still around. Did it ever die down or did it need a resurgence, or has it just been strong this whole time?
I don't think it's ever died. It's absolutely never died, especially globally. Globally, it has maintained and been one of the biggest IPs that exists. Has it gone in lulls and then had resurgences of popularity? Yes. The most recent resurgence, I'm sure we'll get into this a little more, came right around the time of the COVID lockdowns, when lots of people were sitting at home watching content, not having a lot to do, being able to buy things online, retail therapy. At the same time, lots of streamers or really prominent entertainers got really into Pokemon. People who had just like gobs of money for the first time. Some really popular rappers, like one named Logic, Logan Paul, the YouTuber, made very big streams of going online and buying multi-million dollar cards that brought like the collectability aspect of it back into prominence. So that, along with like the global like stoppage of production that happened during COVID, made like this massive spike in availability and popularity all happen at the same time.
Oh my gosh. Jason, multi-million dollar cards, you got any of those?
Not yet. Okay. I'm still working on that one.
Okay. Well, I'm going to be honest. I didn't even realize the cards were part of a game. Jason, is it hard to play? Is there any way to explain briefly how to play?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of obviously minutia in the specific rules, but generally speaking, it's two trainers, if you will, that are bringing their Pokemon to battle each other. And it's kid-friendly because they're essentially knocking each other out. You still keep the Pokemon. But essentially, both players have six prize cards, which is six random cards from their deck. And when one Pokemon is knocked out, depending on how powerful that Pokemon was, you take anywhere between one and three prizes. And the first one to take all six prizes wins that game.
Wow, that was really well explained.
I've played a few games.
Yeah, no kidding. What do you think makes Pokemon so popular, Jason? I assume do you play with your children? Like, what do they love about it?
Yeah, so I have a 10-year-old and a 7-year-old. I also have a 5-year-old, but she sticks to princesses.
Yeah, for now. Never know.
Right. But I think because it covers so many facets, you know, it's obviously got the nostalgia of like when I was growing up, I had younger siblings that were really into it. So obviously I had to get into it too, because I had to teach them how to play and learn it myself. And then ultimately I played a lot back then.
Did you just beat the heck out of them?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. That's how you teach them to lose properly.
That's right.
And then also because it is just, you know, it's cartoon style characters, kids love it. And they're trying, you know, the whole trying to catch them all. And then you have TV shows, you have movies, you have comic books that have all come out that you can stay connected and go, oh, I just opened that, you know, that Pokemon or whatever. I think that connects multiple facets of people across, and then dads can do it with their kids or moms can do it with their kids, and it just stays connected and stays relevant.
Yeah, one of the brilliant things they've done as a game to make themselves prevalent across so many different spectrums is they've made content for kind of anybody who wants to engage with it at any point. Like, our store specifically does a ton of youth events, so we try to focus on the kids aspect of it. But there's also Pokemon Go, which is like the one that was a big exercise craze that people could do. There's a new game this year on apps called Pokemon Pocket, which is just a quick hit version you can play between movies, comics, TV shows, five different versions of the game. You can really engage with it in whatever capacity, so it just becomes this thing that you always have access to and can come and go however you want.
Are they still inventing new Pokemon too? I mean,
100%.
Yeah, because I thought I knew them all, and then I skipped a few years and I was like, where did these new guys come from?
No, ironically, it's very similar to, like, I didn't touch on this when we talked about how the game was created. The guy who created it just wanted to make a game that, like, showed his passion for bug collecting. So you go out and find new bugs. Yeah, you go out and once in a while find a new Pokemon that nobody's ever found before because it was under a log that nobody ever picked up before.
Oh, that's so fun.
Yeah, there's well over 1,000 Pokemon now.
1,000. Yeah, I can't try to remember all those. So we got an email from Barbara. Barbara writes, is it just the new cards people are after? Lots of folks have older cards. Would they be useful? What do you think, Michael?
I mean, we just talked about playing, and I think Jason and I both fall onto the side of the hobby that is playing the game. Like, I run a game store. We want to play the game. Old cards are incredibly big part of the other part, the not-so-pleasant side of the hobby, which is the collectible side of the hobby, which is what we'll get into about why it's really hard to find the cards. Older cards can have incredible value in that side of it. Are they as useful in the gameplay? No, not at all.
In fact, they don't have the same powers?
If you get into a new game, most card games that have been around for 30 years-ish have to have some method for new players to get into it. And if you get into a game, you can't be expected to go back and find cards from 30 years ago.
Oh.
So most of the legality of those cards as far as playing the game, they're not even legal to play with anymore. They're just to look at and collect because they want new players to be able to find, usually when you're playing a game, only cards from the last like 2 to 3 years are what you're actually going to be playing with.
Wow. I'm learning so much. We're talking about Pokemon card supply shortages, the problem of scalpers, which we'll get to, and the impact on players and their parents. Do you play? Have you been searching for these cards? Give us a call at 513-419-7100 or email talk@wvxu.org. So, Michael, why is it so hard to find these cards now? And are scalpers part of the issue here?
They're a major part of the issue. The market, parts of the market, I'm a very small store in Cincinnati, Ohio. So parts of the market, I have no idea on, if I'm being honest. I know that Pokemon as a company knows about the problem. They have addressed it directly and they want to print more cards to get them into more hands. The problem, scalpers take away cards out of the market in a very absurd idea to make it an investment opportunity, which if you look anywhere in the history of investments of sports cards or Furbies or Beanie Babies is just dumb. But they want to try to make an investment out of a hobby. And because cards can go for so much, they sort of just have this cyclical artificial inflation that comes from like, well, if I'm a scalper and I go around to every Target, Walmart, game store in Cincinnati and buy every single box, then I can sort of inflate the price online to be whatever I want the price to be. And then a box that costs $40 all of a sudden costs $300. Oh. And as long as those boxes have that price, as soon as the limited supply that does exist hits store shelves, people who aren't necessarily scalpers, who just like know that they want Pokemon, are going to grab everything they can get because it's so hard to find. So it's just this cycle of like scalpers creating the problem, grabbing up everything they can to try to manipulate the market of their own investment, with quotations around it, and then forcing everybody else into that game of trying to just grab whatever they can get to get something so their kids can play, so they can do the event. Like we at Woodburn Games, we try to do Pokemon events. Like we have kids' summer camps where we do Pokemon events. It is incredibly challenging for us to just hold enough inventory behind to support those events. So it just turns into a real big problem. The company's aware of it, and they're printing more than they ever have before. More Pokemon product is being printed now than ever has been printed before, but still needs to catch up to the demand.
Yeah. What does this mean for you, Jason, for your kids who play, for you as a parent who you're probably, I don't know how much time you're spending looking for these cards.
Yeah, I would say, Michael here being the local game store, we kind of got connected early on when my kids started collecting. So he's my connect, if you will, in terms of trying to get product.
It's your guy on the inside.
Yeah, huh? It's helpful to have an inside man. But there's still times like where typically I would buy 1 to 2 boxes, which is 36 packs per box. And then we would open 1 to 2 packs a day, depending on what kid wants to open a pack. I've had times where I've gone to him and he's like, I can only get you one box, or I'm not sure I'm going to get any product, just because it's so difficult with the allocations coming from Pokemon and then trying to keep product for store events and things like that. So it is more difficult. I don't think I've never had zero product, but it's definitely more difficult now.
What's it like for your kids to open those packs? I mean, are they hoping to get $1 million card when they...
It's a little easier for them because if it's shiny, it's cool. So it doesn't necessarily have to have value. And now, essentially, Pokemon used to... Local American Pokemon used to not always have a card on the back that was shiny. It was... they call them a holographic. Now, every pack has a holo in it. So... every pack's got something shiny, and then you're just looking for shinier rocks, essentially, as you open these packs.
Well, do they get a lot of duplicates? What do they do with those? They end up trading with friends?
Yeah, a lot of that comes into what the trading card space calls bulk. They're cards that aren't super valuable. They may have playability, they may not. But I've actually found another store. It's up in Akron. They buy bulk. So we'll usually save tons and tons of bulk, you know, talking like 20,000 cards worth of bulk.
Oh my gosh. And then your family saves 20,000 cards worth of bulk?
Oh yeah. I buy boxes from Mike and buy boxes to store them in, and then we'll load it all up in the car and make a weekend trip out of it. Me and the boys will go up, stay in a hotel, go to that store, trade in the bulk for store credit, buy more cards, and then come back home. So it's another experience where we can bond together.
Yeah. Bulk adds up very quickly.
Yes. Wow.
Quantity-wise.
So, Michael, do you all have the cards in stock now? If not, do you think you'll get them anytime soon?
We hope so. I mean, we have a pretty active community, and we post as soon as we're going to get them. The one thing I wanted to say as a follow-up to what Jason was saying, you touched on trading cards. I want to make sure people know. One of the fascinating things about Pokemon is kids, particularly, so many of them don't play the game. They just look at the game. And trading is a huge part of the game. That is what is supposed to happen with the game. The whole idea of the game, and I've been playing for more years than I care to count of that and other trading card games, is you want exactly what Jason's kids are experiencing. You want to open the pack and see a shiny thing and have no, like, as a store owner, I don't sell individual cards, so I don't acknowledge card value. I open it up and I see a cool card that I like, and I'm like, oh, that's a cool card. I have two of them. You have another cool card that I like. Do you want to trade the one that I have two of? That is how trading cards are intended to function. Just to throw that out there.
Yeah.
Inventory, they won't give us direct answer. Like, you can't get a direct answer for Pokemon. Not necessarily because they don't want to. It's just too hard for... It's like I said, it's just such a large company in the distribution chain, getting down to a local store, not even one my size, which is relatively small. We've been here for 7 years now, but we're still relatively small. But even very large stores, you just don't know how long it's going to take to get from production to shipping to a warehouse to a distributor down to you. So we get them as soon as we can, and we post it, and we try to be clear and open with how many we're getting. We sell everything at whatever the retail price is. We never do any markups and get as much to the people's hands as we can.
Yeah. We do have a caller on the line. Hey, Bradley, thanks for calling. What's your question or comment?
Hi. So I just shout out to the parents who want to get their kids into the Pokemon. I'm 45 and I've got two younger children who are getting into the hobby that I've been playing since the 90s. So good places to look. I know November 15th, Eastgate Mall is going to have a trading card show. And you'll often, I mean, quite a number of vendors there with Pokemon. You can find singles, but a lot of them will have packs that you get for probably less than $5 that will have all the basic starter stuff that you need to put a deck together for someone who's just looking in to want to try out the game. Local card stores, great. Some do offer singles, which is good. I got my daughter into it. She, you know, their card's $40, $50, $60, but the one she likes, you know, you can usually find for anywhere from a quarter to 15 cents to a dollar at some local card stores that do offer singles.
Okay. Well, thanks, Bradley. We appreciate those tips. Thanks so much for calling and for listening. Michael, you talked about, as your shop owner, your own Woodburn Games, you've got a lot of people coming in asking for these cards, I bet, all the time, or calling and asking for these cards. What about, are they mostly collectors? Are they people who play? Where does this interest all coming from?
I don't have a very polite way to say that. I can pretty much tell immediately on the phone call or when a person walks in which one of the two of those are.
How's that?
Games in general, especially our game store, is built on making communities. We have a place where people come and play together. We do events of all kinds all through the week. The folks who are coming to just scalp and try to make investments want no part of that. So they're frequently very rude. They have no interest in knowing anything else. They just want to know what your product is, how much it costs, how much they can get. Lots of those are phone calls. Unfortunately, sometimes they're in person. I'm holding my tongue a little bit because Jason knows this. We had one of those individuals in the store yesterday to bring up the worst part of it, who we had to call the police on and have
an
emergency call because he was a quote-unquote investor and wanted more product than we are willing to sell to any individual person, and got very angry at it, and it escalated, and we had to have a police in store, which is a horrible part of the hobby that should not exist in a hobby that is for 6 and 8 year olds at the end of the day. So we get a lot of phone calls about it. I want to say my store is frequently, because we've been around long enough and built a community, we don't deal with a lot of it. We have policies that are very straightforward in place. We don't allow scalping purchases. We have limits on how much people can buy. Lots of it's held for events in the store to try to get people into the game. So we get some grumpy phone calls. Every once in a while, we get the extreme that is still fresh on my mind, so forgive me for that. Yeah. But for the most part, the calls we get are just parents. Like, there's one father who I can think of who is a very sweet man who comes in with his daughter once a week just to check in if we've gotten any. Like, just check in to see if you've got any. He lives in the neighborhood, walks around the block. Got any today? Nope. Sorry. Check in next week. We get some phone calls from time to time. Ironically, the biggest phone call we get is, do you sell Pokemon cards? To show kind of like what people are trying to do with it. The second most popular phone call I probably get is, do you buy Pokemon cards? Because the people who have bought it all up then immediately look for places to try to sell it at a higher rate. So they're usually phone calls. We usually say, no, we don't do that, and save our time for the people who come in the store and want to actually engage with the community.
Yeah. Well, Jason, what do you think this does for your kids? Do you think it helps build community? I mean, is this kind of the screen-free play you're looking for? Or does it help with independence because they can sit and look through their cards by themselves if they want to?
Yeah. So as my oldest is 10, and as he's getting to the point where he's going to, you know, he's asked questions about how to play and wants to learn how to play, I think the ability to have something that we can play together, but also they can either trade or actually play the game with friends. Also the ability to, if it gets far enough, they can actually, you know, organize their own tournaments to play against each other or go to events that, you know, like I live out on the west side of town, Mike's store's on the east side of town. So you can come over here, play in one of these events and meet people that you wouldn't normally typically meet because they're not going to go to school together, things like that. And then on top of it, the self play where they can look at their deck and look at some of the other cards they have and go, oh, this actually works better, or this one looks cooler, whatever it is. All of those things coming together, I think, is a great piece of the puzzle for kids to learn, and also how to play and be competitive and win, and how to lose. And I think all those are good traits for them to learn.
Yeah. Do you beat your kids? Not in the game. I don't talk.
That's a different conversation. Yeah. I'm not one to let them win. Okay. Now I may give them some advice like, I wouldn't do that, or yeah, you could do that. That'll be really good. But at the end of the day, Dad's the best.
Well, I've been talking with Woodburn Games co-owner Michael Hubbard and local father and Pokemon player and winner Jason Lindell. Thank you both so much for your time today.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Associate producer is Harper Carlton. Technical director today is Ella Rowan. If you miss our program live, you can find Cincinnati Edition wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Lucy May. Thanks so much for listening.